Hi, I'm Paul, and I'm on the spectrum.
And I'm Kim, and I'm an autism specialist.
The second Monday and Tuesday of each month at 3 p.m. on 1010 a.m.
and online at breakradioshow.com, live and archived.
We're here to help you with
Understanding Autism.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. And now, every Monday, first Monday,
second Monday.
I knew I said it right on the first hour. I said second Monday. But now it is the second Monday and Tuesday of each month from 3 to 4. Understanding Autism, starring Kimberly Isaac and Paul Loudon, all the way from Houston, Texas. Guys, how are you?
Doing well.
Doing okay.
You should have did that like your promo, you know, in harmony.
What? Oh.
It's so good.
Yeah, I love our promo, actually. We're just talking about that.
It takes planning, though.
Yeah.
All right. Take planning.
I'll do some directing.
No,
okay,
but things are good, actually. Friday was a great day. Paul gave a presentation at an autism conference here in Phoenix, and so we're actually going to be uploading that sometime in the next maybe week. It's a week, safe to say.
Hopefully, yeah. My internet here in Phoenix at this different hotel is not adequate for really getting this done. So once I get home, I will work on it.
Yeah.
Where does it get uploaded? On Facebook?
We're going to have it on YouTube. We'll have a link to it from Facebook.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. But he just did an amazing job. It was really, I was inspired. In fact, it was a surprise for me. He didn't let me in on it. Like, I didn't know what his presentation was going to be like until that day, and I just loved it.
Oh,
not that I was
nice.
Surprised that I loved it, but it was an exciting surprise for me, too.
How do you like it, Paul?
I think it went pretty well.
Yeah. And do you like public speaking?
I'm fine with it.
See, radio is different than public speaking, in my opinion.
I would agree.
Would you both agree?
Not for me.
No, it's the same thing?
The idea is trying to express an idea to a group of people. I mean, in public speaking, there's a little bit of a difference in that you can directly gauge whether your audience is in it or not, whereas on radio you can't see your audience. But the basic idea is the same. If you do something that can keep the audience interested, you're doing fine. So,
nicely you know, said. I like
to me,
how he said it.
It's talking to an audience either way. So.
Yeah, I'm more affected by the feedback aspect. I'm very nervous when I have to
public speak.
Yeah.
Well, I may have the advantage of I can't necessarily interpret the feedback
that well.
Well, I was
just going to say that. I know. I think that we're more sensitive to it maybe
yeah,
than you are. But
well, that's a great skill to have, Paul.
No, it is for sure.
I think it is.
I think it went well. There's definitely things I will do better next time, I think. But
I think everybody's going to be really, really excited to see it. So we'll get it up there quick, and then everybody can watch it and give us feedback.
That would be great.
We love feedback, by the way.
Yes, and where do you get how would they get in touch
right now, the best way to give us feedback is to visit our Facebook page at facebook.com/understandingautismradio.
Nice.
But we should get into our topic for today.
Yes.
We're talking about the difference between awareness and understanding, because there's a lot of talk, and this happens with almost every issue, there's a lot of talk about raising awareness, you know, raise breast cancer awareness, raise awareness for this or that. But one of the big things that is sort of different about autism is that awareness isn't really enough. With, say, a simple issue like having a broken leg, or I don't want to call being in a wheelchair simple, but it's not complex. It's challenging,
visually
but
obvious.
It's very obvious. Well, not just visually obvious, but it's something that our brains can wrap themselves around very easily. So being aware that someone is in a wheelchair, you can quickly internally go to understanding. They're in a wheelchair, so they might need help opening the door. Or they're in a wheelchair, you know, so maybe I should, you know, offer to carry something for them. That when you see someone in a wheelchair, you can sort of instinctively figure out what to do to help that person if you want to help that person.
And you also know why. I mean, usually people are in wheelchairs because they've been hurt physically or, you know, they have a physical ailment. I mean, generally that's the association people make, and it's...
Unless you do what my brother does at Disneyland so you can get first in line.
Well, I'm not sure why is actually that important, though. So...
Oh, well, just because you know what to do.
Yeah, but what to do isn't necessarily related to why. A person can be in the wheelchair because of a physical deformity. A person can be in a wheelchair because they've broken their leg. A person can be in a wheelchair because they have a neurological disorder and that part of their body doesn't work. There's a million whys, but none of it really matters. All that matters is the fact that they're in the wheelchair. So, and then there's the other end of the spectrum where it's something like cancer where You can be aware of it, but there really isn't anything you can do. That cancer is something that requires a specialist, that requires, you know, medical attention, maybe some sort of chemotherapy or other treatment. That cancer is something that being aware of, you don't need to understand the processes that lead to cancer so much as if you want to help, typically the best you can do is raise awareness and raise money so that the money can help the people who are experts in the area provide help. But with autism, it's one of those sort of in-between issues where you can help, but it's complicated and it's not something where the help that you can give is immediately apparent like it is with a broken leg. So raising awareness doesn't help as much as it does with those other two ends of the spectrum, because awareness doesn't lead you with how to help. Awareness doesn't help other people help. All awareness does is make you aware, and then you need to take that other step to understanding what you can do besides just giving money, which giving money to the appropriate causes does help, but in everyday life, you can do more like you could with the person in a wheelchair.
So you're saying that awareness actually leads to understanding, or could lead to understanding?
Awareness can lead to understanding, but whereas awareness is a good goal for, you know, for issues like the other ones I mentioned, awareness is kind of just a first step for this one rather than a destination. And that's part of the problem, is that we talk about awareness and raising awareness like awareness is the destination. But awareness is kind of more a starting point, and understanding should be the destination.
Definitely. And also, I think that, you know, having awareness, I think people do kind of maybe assume that they do understand. And it's important that people realize exactly what Paul's saying, is it is a first step. It's not the last step, for sure. And it is important, but it also doesn't tell you, you know, why or what to do, you know, and to get to the action phase. So actually, I should probably mention that this month, April, is Autism Awareness Month, and April 2nd was World Autism Awareness Day. So that's kind of what sparked this discussion today.
So it's very important, I guess, in any awareness, is to create an action from others, because awareness alone is not enough. Like Paul was saying, you know, awareness leads maybe to raising money, to volunteers, to maybe take that action of what and how to do what.
But it also, I mean, here's the thing: without the understanding piece, you don't know what course of action is the right course of action. And with autism, it's especially tricky. And I think this is why maybe I brought up the wheelchair with the association of the physical. You know, it's, people associate something a little more obvious. With autism, you might notice somebody, you know, maybe the way they communicate's a little bit different, or, you know, maybe they're spinning or flapping their hands or something. A lot of people may not, I mean, although awareness is growing, say, oh, that must be autism. You know, people might think, okay, that person is odd, that person is strange. Whereas someone who does have a physical problem, it's pretty obvious, like, oh, yeah, they have a physical problem. Now, the thing is, with autism, it is really a physical problem. It is, but it's internal. It's invisible. So it's tricky to the eye, I guess. And that's why the understanding piece is critical, because what you see on the outside, it matters, but that's not the thing to focus on.
So both of you then, how is this topic, how does this help both of you? How does it help people that you want to help?
Well, first and foremost, I mean, right now, the autism diagnosis rate is higher than 1 in 87. I've read that as recently they had 2 in 1,000, which is 1 in 50. Now, whether that one pans out or not, you know, it's been 1 in 87, it's been 1 in 100 before, so it does keep going more and more. Odds are that you're going to meet several people in your life who are somewhere on the autism spectrum. They may not be diagnosed, they may be diagnosed, but you are going to meet in your life many people on the autism spectrum filling different roles. They may be, you know, taking your hamburger order. They may be in the call center on the phone. They may just be, you know, your best friend's daughter. You don't know.
Or next door neighbor.
But you will meet people who are on the autism spectrum. And being aware of it doesn't really help you much in interacting with them. If you go, oh, that's autism, you're still in a situation where you may not be communicating well with them, you may be getting frustrated with them, and you don't know why and you don't know how to make it better. So being at the point where you move from awareness to understanding gives you some tools to start to help interacting with these people, you might be able to help them with problems they're having, or you might be able to just help yourself be less frustrated and have a better outcome where instead of getting into an argument, you both realize that you're agreeing with each other, you're just saying it different ways. So it can lead to better outcomes and all kinds of things. And a lot of the tools that are helpful here are just helpful in day-to-day life anyway, but especially when you move from awareness to understanding, you move from the being aware that it exists to the fact that you can actually do something about it.
So it's an action step, pretty much.
In a way, yes.
Yeah, which makes a lot of sense. Why don't we take a quick break right now? When we come back, we will continue our discussion with Kimberly Isaac and Paul Loudon, the stars of Understanding Autism. The topic is the difference between awareness and understanding as it pertains to the spectrum, the autism spectrum. We'll be right back.
Hopefully, you'll never have to experience a disaster such as a fire or a flood striking your home or business. But if you do, know there's someone out there who can quickly help you get life back to normal. That someone is ServiceMaster by Disaster Professionals. Just call 602-431-2222, and our professionals will be there to lend a hand. You can be confident knowing ServiceMaster Clean has over 50 years of experience restoring damaged homes and businesses after frightening events such as fires, floods, vandalisms, and other disasters. We can offer services such as emergency cleaning, smoke, soot, and odor removal, in addition to water and fire damage repair. Our solid reputation is the reason insurance companies nationwide know ServiceMaster Clean will get the job done quickly and professionally. Plus, we guarantee to do the work right the first time, or we'll do it over with no questions asked. That's ServiceMaster Clean. We're the company that's first to respond to your call, first to arrive on the scene, and first to guarantee relief. Because delays and hassles are the last thing you need. Remember, 602-431-2222 for ServiceMaster Clean by Disaster Professionals. And get the clean you expect and the service you deserve.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
Are you standing at a crossroad in life wondering what's next? Is it time to reinvent your relationship, your career, your life? Whether you're ready for a reinvention revolution or a reinvention evolution, the support of a couple of great coaches can get you there. When you decide it's time to take your life from just functional to optimal, call Joe and Lori Battaglia of Living the Dream Coaches. 888-505-5762. That's 888-505-5762, or go online to www.livingthedreamcoaches.com. That's www.livingthedreamcoaches.com.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac, and this is Understanding Autism, starring Kimberly Isaac and Paul Loudon. We're talking about the difference between awareness and understanding, and it's important to be aware. However, being aware alone often is not enough. You really know how to take action, what tools you can do to take action, and that's where we sort of left off, is some of the tools. I'm sort of interested in some of the tools, and then we can talk a little bit more after that. But what are some of the tools that one can use from an understanding standpoint?
Well, I think kind of even it takes a step back even from that is, so we have this idea of awareness, but within awareness, there's also the concept of identifying something correctly. So, thinking about autism and how, it does present differently. And sometimes it isn't very obvious that someone may be on the spectrum. I know a lot of times, people, they meet you, Paul, and it's, people are like, there's no way he's on the spectrum, because of some of the things that they see. But again, because there are things that are internal, having an awareness, okay, this is what I know autism is, but this is not what I'm seeing, is being able to identify clearly what is actually autism. If people don't know that, that becomes a problem.
Well, and sort of getting stuck on identification is a bit of a problem too. I will say, you said that a lot of people wouldn't immediately spot me as being on the autism spectrum, but a lot of the people I've met with Asperger's do immediately spot me as being on the autism spectrum.
The people with Asperger's do?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
So it's one of those things where it depends on what you're looking for, what signs you see as the signs that mark you as autism. I was talking with someone at the conference, and I was telling her that I often associate autism, whether someone has it, by sort of speech patterns, that a lot of the way they talk sort of gives it away to me. And she was telling me that for her there's a lot more to it, that a lot of the way that we move, the way that we walk shows it up to her. And, I was thinking, well, part of that might be my talk was on culture and the way that we pick up culture through observation of the people around us. And that's part of how we learn to walk, is we learn to walk through observation of the people around us. But some people walk, as it's just sort of a thing they do, and other people sort of walk in more of a conscious, it's a series of motions, a very technical, intentional walking. It's like that whole thing with breathing. If you start thinking about the fact that you're breathing right now, you start thinking about how do I breathe, and then you have to think breathe in, breathe out, breathe in, you get caught up in it. And I think that, that's one of those things. People on the spectrum a lot of times are maybe more intentional about certain types of, quote, normal movements and the way that they interact with the world physically. But some of them aren't. And so if you're looking for certain signs of autism, if a sign that you've got mentally as one that someone's supposed to have isn't there, you might think, well, they're probably not autistic. Or maybe they aren't as bad, when really the stuff that they're dealing with is worse but in a different way. But the thing is even then, the advantage of awareness is that when you start getting into the mindsets for, how you interact with these people and how you help them, is that the same things work with everyone. That whether or not they have autism, if you go up to someone and they're doing something that you don't understand, that it looks weird to you, that it looks offensive to you, the first thought is, well, they probably have a reason for doing it. Most people don't do things for no reason at all. They may not necessarily know why they're doing it, because they may not be doing it consciously, but something, every action has a starting point. Every action. If someone is tapping their foot, they may not realize they're doing it, but maybe when they become aware of it, they go, oh, well, I just do that. I get anxious, and then I start tapping my foot. Or, every action has a starting point. And when you go into interactions with people with that sort of mindset of, well, maybe there's a reason for them doing it, and maybe they aren't aware that it's causing a problem, maybe they think it's fine, maybe they have good intentions with it, whatever it is, that it gives you this starting point of trying to work your way through it rather than trying to stop it. That maybe you can compromise by trying to find out some other way to meet whatever need it is. And these sort of thought processes, the process of understanding what's going on and then trying to improve the situation rather than just trying to stop what's bothering you or get what you need out of the situation without looking for a way to find a meeting point in the middle, helps working with autistic people, but it also just helps with everyday problems. So, part of the moving from awareness to understanding is awareness is about identifying it, about knowing it's there, but understanding is about realizing that, whether or not you identify it entirely accurately doesn't affect whether you can help someone. That that as you understand sort of the deeper effects of autism, that it can cause people to interpret day-to-day situations differently, that it can cause them to develop different ideas of the right and wrong way to act in certain situations, that it can cause them to have difficulty understanding certain emotional situations, that it can cause all kinds of difficulties. Once you start understanding it rather than just, being aware that autism exists and these are the symptoms, you can start realizing that you don't need to identify so much about the deep layers just to work with someone or help someone that you run into casually.
Hmm.
Well, what I'm hearing is this from from what you just said, Paul, is that what I just got out of that is that I don't think everyone has to have the technical expertise of Kim to be able to help, but understanding might lead to more compassion.
I hope so.
Well, yeah. No, I mean, definitely. And also, I mean, I also think of just being, you know, not jumping to conclusions about things you see and just assuming things, because whether it is a person on the spectrum or not, you know, people do have reasons why they're doing things, and you have no idea what someone's going through, you know, and it seems like society can be really quick to, you know, assume the worst or, you know, the most negative thing if it's not matching up with what they think should be. And so, I mean, I think that that applies to more than just autism, but, you know, especially since we're talking about autism, is, you know, it is really important to realize that things that you're seeing have an important reason, a why, you know, and on the technical side, I mean, as a professional, there's the professional side, and then just, yeah, the community side, having the compassion and all that stuff on the professional side is being able to, you know, be aware and identify certain things so that you know, which direction to lead a person. But just to, you know, in the community, it's very important that, you know, you kind of be mindful of the fact that just because what you're seeing is different, you know, it doesn't, not to put a negative spin on it, it just means there's a need inside. Like, I'm thinking of some of the physical things you might see in autism. Maybe somebody is, you know, not really quite sure, like Paul used this in your presentation, but the personal space issue. Sometimes, you know, people with autism get extremely close to you and they're not really aware of another person's comfort level or some of the, you know, the cultural rules that we, you know, develop and we learn from and observe and all that. And then there are some people with autism who want to be as far away as possible from you. In fact, they're comfortable talking to you from another room. You know, I don't need to look at the person. They can hear me just fine, type thing. So, you know, it would be really easy to misinterpret things just on that particular example. You know, the person who's in the other room who doesn't really see any value in being face to face with a person, you know, the person on the receiving end might think, okay, I'm not important enough for him to come over and actually give me attention, type thing, you know, a negative thing. And then the person who's too close, you know, this person might think, okay, why is he disrespecting my personal space? You know, so it's really quick. And it's natural to make those, you know, have those thoughts just because of what we learned culturally. However, I think the thing that I would like to encourage is that people learn to pause, like press pause in those moments and start asking themselves questions. And, you know, because there's actually a lot to the things that you're seeing, you know. So that's where, okay, so if we were to say those things are the awareness because those are things we're seeing, but I want to understand them better. Because when I understand them better, I know how to, you know, take an action about it. Whether it's just be understanding and compassionate and, you know, just a nice person, an understanding person, or whether it's how do I help teach this person something. So it's really important that those are the moments in your mind, whether you're a professional, a family member, or just someone in the community, to consider pressing that pause button on your thoughts and going, you know, there's a reason. There's a reason this is happening. Another example is, you know, you see with the little kids sometimes with autism, they're in constant motion. They're either spinning or rocking or dangling things, you know, in front of their eyes or lining things up. And you see those things, you know, and at first glance you're thinking, you know, maybe the kid that's spinning and spinning, you're like, hey, come on, pay attention to what's going on. You know, stop what you're doing. But really there's a lot behind what you're seeing in the spinning. You know, people with autism have a hard time sometimes sensory-wise and also with self-regulation. And the spinning actually provides their body something they need that they're not getting in other ways. So if you start treating things by what you see and just saying, hey, you know, stop spinning, you need to focus, that child absolutely may not be able to focus because of what's going on inside. And the only way they know how to get that need met is through the spinning. So if you start, you know, seeing things and making immediate judgments, and what's going to happen is that your thoughts are going to determine your actions. And so your attempts to help that person actually aren't going to be very effective or in the best interest of either party.
So how are you going to teach this? I mean, how? I mean, you know, awareness, understanding. Is it a technical thing? I mean, how do you? How do people gain that? I mean, who's your target right now that you're talking to?
Well, I think we've kind of gone back and forth. I think, Paul, your focus was kind of just in general, right? Like the community.
Well, I think awareness is more technical than understanding, because I think awareness is knowing what autism is, knowing about the symptoms, sort of being able to spot it. But I think understanding is sort of almost a looser concept, because it comes with the knowledge that you don't need to know most of that awareness stuff, that you can change patterns that you use in everyday life. Like I was saying, approaching things with the thought that their intent is good, or that, you know, there's reason in it and we can figure it out, that allow you to help without the same degree of awareness or knowledge, but still being able to be useful or effective. So I think that, you know, sort of the audience for understanding is everyone. Because really, you know, it is helpful to know about autism. It is helpful. The more you know, the better. But getting caught up in that knowledge trap of these are the details can sort of take you away from what should I be doing, because you start thinking, okay, this is a symptom, I need to address it. Or, you know, it's sort of one of those things where a lot of stuff is helpful to know, but dwelling on it is not that helpful, that you can get caught up in the details and miss the big picture.
And I sort of see it, I mean, I see it more from the professional side of it. And I think what Paul said is true. I mean, understanding is definitely for everybody. I think when you have a goal, like a therapeutic type goal, both things are equally important, because...
Oh, yeah. I'm just talking about, this is National Autism Awareness Month.
Right.
And I would really love it to be National Autism Understanding Month.
Right.
That I think that... you know, getting it out, word out there that, you know, 1 in 50 people has autism, that doesn't help people with autism that much. That
just knowing the
just
statistics,
knowing it, because
and knowing it's,
well,
out
there's
there.
Also a stigma related to autism, and especially Asperger's. There's sort of a view of Asperger's in a lot of the online and technical communities that they're hard to work with, they're stubborn, whatever, and they often are. But the problem is that awareness doesn't really put you in a position to make that situation better. Awareness helps raise money, which is great. Awareness helps people know that this is a problem, that's great. But understanding helps make life day-to-day better for people. That if we start spreading more about what you can do about it rather than just it's here, then you start getting a lot of help for the people who may be undiagnosed or who may be diagnosed but with the condition minor enough that they're trying to live day-to-day lives, or with a serious condition but, you know, they have to go to school still and deal with teachers who maybe aren't formally trained in the area. So understanding, a month of trying to raise a deeper understanding of what autism is and how people with autism interact with the world, I think will help people on the spectrum in different ways than raising money will. And I think that they're both noble goals, but right now we're kind of following one more and letting
the
other not be focused on at all.
And one of the first steps really in understanding is realizing or being aware of the fact that you do need to understand and not just stay stuck at the awareness point. So the first step in, I guess, moving forward to helping, and this applies to anybody, is your next step would be realizing that, okay, there's more to this than what I'm seeing. And that's your starting point into learning, you know, more specifics about a person, you know, because everybody is an individual person. And even, you know, autism is a spectrum disorder, and that's, you know, very, very true. But, you know, most importantly, everybody's a person, and they're a person first. And so I think that, you know, those starting points of kind of getting back to basics or foundations of just, you know, humanness and also the desire to help, you know, combining those two, it's like, okay, we want to really, before we do anything, you know, even understanding, you have to realize that there is stuff to learn, you know, to learn about people. And I think the mindset of learning and understanding people is much more effective than walking in with assumptions and acting on those.
All right. Well, let's take another quick break. And when we come back, we'll continue this discussion, the difference between awareness and understanding. This is Understanding Autism, starring Kimberly Isaac and Paul Loudon. We'll be right back.
I'm Jessica Olson, and I'm here to introduce you to someone whose job it is to stand together with you at the worst of times. Life throws us unexpected curveballs, including losing loved ones, caretaking, troubled retirements, job losses, and legal settlements. Meet certified financial planner Larry Moscat, who pioneered crisis financial counseling. With a background as a clinical psychology practitioner, Larry has helped numerous people see through their crises to a brighter financial future. Larry?
Thank you, Jessica. At our firm, RII Advisors in North Scottsdale, we know terrible times don't usually last, but the effects of anxiety-infused financial decisions can last a lifetime. For 30 years, our prime goal has been to introduce freedom from fear and a feeling of financial security for our clients. We then move forward with safety and best-case outcome results when it comes to the financial decisions made during the worst of times.
To learn more, log on to www.RIIAdvisors.com. That's RIIAdvisors.com for information on how to get help. Once again, that's RIIAdvisors.com for financial counseling during life's most challenging times.
Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
At Beerenbaum Baum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Beerenbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Hi, I'm Paul, and I'm on the spectrum.
And I'm Kim, and I'm an autism specialist.
The second Monday and Tuesday of each month at 3 p.m. on 1010 a.m.
and online at breakradioshow.com, live and archived.
We're here to help you with
Understanding Autism.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac, and this is Understanding Autism, starring Kimberly Isaac and Paul Loudon, all the way from Houston, Texas. Ooh, Baylor, they lost. What's up with that? Brittany Griner did not have a good game. Anyway, just
I don't even know what sport you're talking about. Oh, I'm assuming it's basketball just because.
Women's basketball.
Okay. I have no idea what sport you're
talking
about.
Isn't Baylor in Texas?
I'm completely out of touch with
basketball.
Everything.
All right. Not
everything. Sports related.
Oh, but, good. Sports related.
Anyway, so we were talking about understanding versus awareness, and this is Autism Awareness Month, and you know, we spread awareness by wearing blue, by you know, displaying the puzzle piece, by going to events or raising money. So one thing is how do we understand? How do we spread understanding? And that's. It's sort of a more complicated issue because a lot of times understanding comes through personal experience. You're around someone. You see the way they act. You get to know that this is a person, not a condition. And, you know, that's something that it's hard to express to other people, to talk about the fact that, you know, autism has these severe problems. But when you really get to understand it, you'll see that autism isn't the sum of its problems. It's something else. And I think a good starting point there is that if we want to spread understanding is to talk to people about your personal experiences with it, that most people who have, you know, someone on the spectrum in their lives have some good stories to tell where maybe their different perspective helped them see things in a new light, or maybe they did something funny, but it was a good kind of funny. It was a heartwarming kind of funny. So you can share these stories about someone who's in your life and how autism has affected you not being on the spectrum because of the way that it expressed itself to you through someone who's on the spectrum. And so you can help other people get sort of a taste of the experience part of things. and sort of see it through their own eyes and interpret it in their own way, so that you're not just spreading, you know, textbook definitions, this is autism, 1 in 50 people have it, et cetera, but rather spreading sort of real-world experiences with it and something that people can understand rather than just know.
So you're saying give them the gift of a different way of looking at something, maybe that they've never had that experience. So it's really a gift, it sounds like.
I think it can be, yes.
Yeah, I mean, I like that. And both of you do that. I mean, right here on the show, you do it from a little different perspective. Kim, you do it from, of course, all the experience and knowledge education. And Paul, you do it through your own experience being on the spectrum. The combined stories that you could tell would be very powerful.
Well, I mean, that's why I love the title of our show, Understanding Autism, is that's part of what we're trying to do, is spread a level of understanding rather than just strict knowledge about the issue. That, you know, you hear sometimes I'll tell stories about my growing up and getting yelled at by a teacher or something, or you know, I struggle with depression or whatever, to help people see that, you know, it's not just autism is this list of problems, and you can just sort of check each one off as this is how you solve this one, this is how you solve this one, this is how you solve this one. But rather, it's a whole person who has a whole series of struggles, of things they want from life, of things that, you know, that frustrate them, and that autism changes how they approach these situations, but it doesn't change that everyone experiences most of these things. And so, you know, as we raise understanding, you know, hopefully people will get a better idea of maybe how they can help someone in their own lives. So we're trying to do it with the show, but it's something that I think everyone who knows someone on the autism spectrum should be doing from time to time, is talking to the people around them about it, being as positive and upfront and open about it as they can without, you know, some people on the spectrum don't want it to be shared about them. So, you know, don't go telling stories about someone who's asked you to keep it hidden, obviously. But where possible, be open and upfront about it. Don't try to pretend like, oh, this is just a condition, we're working on it, you don't need to know anything about it, you know, because this is sort of how we approach problems in our lives a lot of times. You know, it's my family's problem, you know, we're working on it here, you know, and that's it. But be open about it. Share the fact that this is someone in your life and you've had experiences with them, and some of them are positive and some of them are negative, but they're all interesting and they all help people learn.
You know, I like that a lot, what you just said. So really understanding leads to really relating better, perhaps, to your own self as well as someone on the spectrum. It can't hurt. I mean, understanding can create a whole different framework in which the person, trying to understand, may want to now, oh, let me develop new skills to understand this. Let me do something different to relate to. Kim, is that something that you relate to?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I think it comes down to mindset and communication, because, you know, yeah, people in the community who haven't interacted with a person of autism, their assumptions are going to be based off of no real life experience. So, you know, people, and I know there's a lot of emotional charge, I guess you could say. Families don't always want to share. Sometimes they feel the opposite, like it would be more embarrassing or more, you know, isolating or something, you know. But actually, I encourage families to really work on that, because communicating is the way to spread, you know, understanding and shed light on issues, because the people that are closest to people with autism, they're the best at sort of decoding things. And so you want to really transfer that, what you're learning and what you're experiencing, to people who aren't having those same experiences. And really, I mean, I feel like it makes a huge difference, because then you draw people in, you change their comfort level, because they don't have so much unknown, you know, uncertainty around it. So when they hear, you know, your experiences, it gives them a reference point, a little bit more of a comfort level.
I like that. I mean, you hit it right on the head, I think, mindset and communication. And I suspect you're talking about the person that needs understanding, their mindset. So not being fearful or not being like completely blank, not understanding at all, panicking, whatever. Many people can react different ways. But I suspect the understanding part will clear the mindset for many ways to relate better or communicate better, just like you said.
I think so. I mean, I think that's a very strong point. And I think that, you know, all of this fits together in that it's a process. You know, there's not a quick fix or even something. I mean, it's kind of an active process, I guess, is what I'm trying to say, because it's active on the part of the advocating person, you know, choosing to share and choosing to communicate. And it's active on the receiving end, where it's the person choosing to really listen and, you know, participate in whatever way that they are comfortable. So it's, and it's not always an intuitive process, which makes it, again, kind of more of an active process.
And this would be critical as I'm thinking about this. To me, and you both comment on this, it would be critical for where is understanding very, very important. I mean, all over, but specifically with teachers that have people on the spectrum in their classes. Neighbors, I think it would be very important. Certainly caretakers. I mean, within the family unit, maybe part of the family understands, the other part doesn't. That can create friction. I mean, I'm guessing, but I'm just thinking just human nature. That could happen. Is there any other areas? But obviously, well, let me mention with teachers, I think that's huge, because if a teacher doesn't understand, that could maybe do some damage to someone on the spectrum.
Well, that's true of anyone who doesn't understand, actually.
But especially
parents included. Well,
yeah.
Sometimes actually parents are worse, because
the
emotional relationship you have or you think you have is different. But I mean, really, because autism is so much about a difficulty being able to learn from others and from feedback from others, and also learn from experiences, because if you don't know what you're looking for in your experiences, you're not going to, you know how to interact in a way that people are going to understand. But, you know, it is critical that, so parents, teachers, professionals, for the adults on the spectrum, you know, bosses, coworkers, I mean, because it's such a social sort of emotional disorder. It's sometimes people don't think of it that way, but it really is, because it impacts both parties differently when both parties are assuming it's impacting them the same.
Let me ask you this, both of you, and let's see, Paul, you go first. What are a couple things, or maybe the I don't know if I want to say the most important thing, but maybe in your top five that you would like people to have more understanding with you being on the spectrum?
I'd say one big thing I run into a lot, and this is just sort of a general thing, is that people give me, they ask me to do something, or they give me instructions, or I read written rules or something, and I don't pick up an intent there. I see like the words, but I don't extrapolate anything from it. Because a lot of times for me, part of the problem is that, you know, that I expect, you know, that all the information I need is going to be there, that that if they left something out, it was intentional, but sometimes they leave something out because they assume I'll figure that out. So a lot of what I run into is that people make an assumption that I'll understand something, then I'll do something in response to it, and then they'll interpret what I did through that assumption that I knew something that maybe I didn't know. So
clarifying intentions.
Yeah, so being clear about why, and if you get a response different than what you expected, stopping to think, what exactly did I ask for? Not what did I think I asked for, but what did I really ask for? And did the response I get comply with what I really asked for? And don't just assume that, you know, they're being a jerk, they're reinterpreting it extra literally just to, you know, throw it in your face or anything, but assume the best intent. So it's sort of, you know, try not to interpret things through why you would do them, but try to say, well, what other way can I look at this situation? That's sort of what I run into that gets me often the most frustrated or in the most trouble.
Well, that deals with communication. But how about you, Kim, in terms of what are some of the things, one or two things that you would like others to understand from your point of view that you see like, wow, only if they understood, things could be smoother, accelerate, more learning, whatever the case.
Well, I think the big thing that comes to mind is that slowing down everything. Because a lot of times people are in this frenzy of, we got to catch this person up, we got to get them doing this, we got to get them doing that. That is not the right way to approach building neural pathways and helping someone to develop. Actually, to speed up, it's just this ironic thing. You want to slow down because you want to be able to clarify your intentions and clarify your why. And pause yourself, I was talking about earlier, is really putting pause on your own mindset and asking yourself questions. And you can only do those things if you slow down. If you're moving too fast, there's not going to be a chance for that.
Now, who are the, or is it usually the caregivers, teachers, they want to speed up and you got to sort of rein it in? Is that what happens?
Usually, yeah. Everybody's just, and it's understandable. I mean, it seems like, you know, they're seeing these things, these behaviors, or they're seeing things that are not happening, and it's causing anxiety. And then when you have anxiety about something, you speed up.
How about expectations? Does it tie into that? So, you know, expectations of others. I guess that does tie into understanding somewhat as well, is if someone has a different expectation than, let's say, you or Paul, of course, if they meet the expectation, great. If it falls short of the expectation due to lack of understanding, that causes some friction, potentially.
Well, and that's why I think, you know, in the beginning of the show, really clarifying, though, what you see versus what you understand. Because, yeah, I mean, your expectation maybe of a child, you know, at a family gathering is they need to be with the family. But the child's off in the corner spinning. And they need that. There's something to that. And so you have to really, that's where the slowing down and the clarifying, if you don't have this precursor of the mental clarity on what am I aware of, what am I seeing, versus understanding, what am I learning about this person, you can't move forward.
So are there, for people listening right now and on any of the rebroadcast shows or the archive shows, are there questions people can ask themselves or pause and maybe ask, like you just said, what am I seeing? Maybe how am I seeing it? Who can I talk to get more information? Would that be helpful?
Those are helpful. The things that I do that I question is, I mean, first thing though, you have to understand autism a little bit better if you're actually wanting to do something to help development. So, you know, I look and I say, okay, I see this person doing this. What is that reflective of? What do they find relevant in this moment? What do I find relevant in this moment? And how can I make that clearer for the person? And so it's really a focus on in the moment, you know, with the knowledge you have of autism, the knowledge you have of the person. So it's a combination of those. From my perspective.
How about you, Paul? The same question in terms of what advice would you give people? Is it just a matter of asking questions about pausing, understanding, knowing there might be a backstory on this type of situation?
I think I'll just come back to the general advice I always give, which is anytime anything happens, take a step back and ask why. And if possible, look for as many possible whys as you can come up with. Don't just stop with what seems the most obvious one or the first one, but find as many as you can and look for one that really fits, that you know, that puts their intentions as being good, you know, tries to say, well, maybe they need certain things, but look for as many possible whys as you can. And use that to sort of start looking for a good way to resolve the situation.
And if you don't know, you know, it's perfectly okay not to know. I think people are afraid of not knowing. But actually, not knowing is a good thing because it takes you through a process. Actually, Paul and I are reading a book about this.
Oh, what book?
Of error. oh, my gosh. What's the title? Being Wrong, Adventures in the Margin of Error.
Oh,
and
cool.
So it is. Have you read it?
No, but I like the title.
Oh, yeah, it is. It's interesting. It sparks thought for sure. But I mean, I think that, you know, people are so afraid to be in a gray area that they're very quick to make an assumption. And the gray area is okay. It tells you, you know, hey, I don't know about this. I need to learn. So I think that that's really important. People need to be a little more comfortable or mindful of being comfortable in the gray.
So it's a growth area.
It's a growth area.
And that's a mindset, too. Like you said a little bit earlier, maybe people should develop that mindset of, what is it? I don't know. The third level of thinking.
And that's what a lot of what I do in RDI is helping. It's really a mindset type thing, not so much what you do, but how you do it. And that helps you to take the most accurate, you know, useful steps on something, whether it's, you know, verbal actions or physical actions.
And you're constantly, I'm guessing, especially with parents, caretakers, maybe teachers, you know, teaching how they can participate. So you're actually giving tools.
Right. Yeah. Well, yeah, these things that I, you know, talking about the slowing down, the mindfulness, you know, those are things that don't come easily to people, especially these days, you know, in this, you know, this high speed internet, fast on to the next society. You know, people need to be reminded to slow down.
And of course, slowing down and mindfulness is great for everyone. It doesn't matter who, what, when, why, where. Everyone should learn that the present moment really can actually automatically pause whatever's going on. Pausing is good because if things go too fast, you might miss something along the way. And this is Understanding Autism with Kim Isaac and Paul Loudon. You'll be on again tomorrow. The second Tuesday from 3 to 4. What's the topic?
We actually have a guest.
Excellent.
Yeah, Jay Nadeo. He is an adult who grew up with autism, and he's going to be sharing his life experiences with us.
Wow, that sounds really good. And how do they get in touch with you real quick?
Hit us up at facebook.com/understandingautismradio.
Very, very good. We'll see everyone tomorrow, Tuesday, right back here, 2 to 4. Have a good night.